One is Fouché of Chartres, who died sometime after 1130. He was a vassal of Stephen of Blois, that most reluctant of crusaders, who also penned a number of letters to his wife. And his account, which starts from the Council of Clermont and goes well into the reign of Baldwin II, is really a very, very fine narrative of the events. He's generally quite good on details. He gives a great deal of specifics about battles. He's not particularly friendly to the Byzantines, but he's not overly hostile. And some of his writing on the Byzantines is probably retrospective, because the history was put together after the First Crusade was over. There's another contemporary account by a fellow named Raymond de Aguillet, who is a Provençal, that is, he speaks the southern French language, and he was associated with Count Raymond of Toulouse and the papal legate Ademir, Bishop of Dupuy. So his account gives us quite a different set of information. For instance, the siege of Antioch in Raymond's account really gives us the presentation from Raymond's viewpoint, or the Provençal viewpoint. It's from his account that we learn a great deal about the miracle of the Holy Lance of Antioch, Peter Bartholomew having this vision while the Crusaders are besieged in Antioch in June of 1098. That is, the great army of Carabogha is outside of them. Bartholomew claims to have a vision from Christ, that the lance that pierced him is in a particular chapel. They go in, dig it up. The lance is mounted and is accredited as one of the reasons why the battle was won. Clearly, Bohemond was not in favor of that interpretation, since he was the general who won the battle, and the lance was found by a Provençal. But nonetheless, it does give us a different perspective on the crusade, and on the particularly on the account of what happened in Antioch. And these types of accounts are a whole level above what most European historical writing had been for centuries. And this continues throughout the entire period of the Crusades. Almost every major crusade has its account. The one exception is the Sixth Crusade of Frederick II. He was just in Palestine for too brief a moment. I mentioned Odo of Deuil, who wrote that rather musing work in some ways, criticizing the failure of Louis's crusade because of Byzantine treachery. And that work is really quite a study in the techniques of Latin oratory and rhetoric, which were clearly well known by the mid-12th century. They're used in sermons, they're used in letters, ecclesiastical works, and here it's carried over into an account discussing Louis's journey to the east. I also mentioned we have for the specific Fourth Crusade two very, very fine accounts, one by Robert of Clary and the other by Geoffrey Villehardouin, both of them eyewitness participants and can be compared to their Byzantine contemporary, Nicetas, I mentioned in an earlier lecture. Villehardouin was a noble in on the negotiations. He tells us great details about what went on at the Treaty of Venice, that fateful treaty that helped bring the crusade to Constantinople. And his account really should be read carefully, because many modern theories about that Fourth Crusade are really difficult to sustain if Villehardouin is at all accurate. And what's important, with Villehardouin, we have a crusade, an account written in the vernacular language. It's written in French. And this is a whole tradition of European literature by the early 13th century, certainly by the end of the 12th century and the early 13th century. Literature is increasingly being written in French, in Provençal, in German. The only country lagging behind is England, where the aristocracy speaks French and the English language is only spoken among the lower elements of society. So English vernacular literature is really a creation of the 14th century. There's another account of Louis's crusade, the Seventh Crusade, St. Louis IX, by Jean de Joinville, who was a vassal of the Count of Saarbrück, or Saarbrücken today, who also participated. And it's more of a combination of biography, hagiography of St. Louis with historical narrative. And as an account, it has absolutely marvelous insights into the kinds of toils suffered by the Crusades. There's amazing passages of the capture of the French crusaders, their ransoming, of the confusion at the Battle of Mansoura, where Jean gives his own account of what went on as he defended a bridge with his nine knights, of which only one of them survived with him. And it really captures a sense of the horrors and the endurance that was necessary of crusaders on these ventures. Above all, the greatest historian of the Middle Ages, perhaps, or at least of this period of the Middle Ages, is a man known as William of Tyre. Bishop of Tyre, born somewhere around 1130 in Outremer, that is, he was a crusader born in the Levant, and died We're not quite sure, but around the time of the Battle of Hattin, his account stops. It is an account that goes back to the origins of the Crusades, but its real virtue is in the periods where William himself was an eyewitness leading up to the Great Regency Crisis under Guy of Lusignan, and it is a masterpiece of historical analysis. In fact, most of our understanding of the Crusades as an overall venture, at least in the 12th century, as a great event, that was related to other events and as one of the primary explanations of historical causation goes back to William of Tyre. And there's very little doubt that William stands as a man with a keen sense of accuracy, a keen sense of observation, as well as a coherent vision of what is going on in human events. And collectively, these historians really are, both in Latin and in their vernacular languages, a very important shift in European historical writing and in European intellectual and abstract reasoning.